Good morning. All right. So this morning is an encouragement to all of us to behave appropriately. Over the last week, there's been supposedly a conclusion to a lot of strife, but it really didn't end. On Tuesday, everybody went out to vote, and that was supposed to be the end of all the discourse and anger and frustration and back and forth, but it really wasn't. And that's nothing new, even though people thought, oh yeah, everything will go back to normal. That we haven't gone back to normal for a long time after an election. But it is disheartening leading up to this current presidential election and in the aftermath, the way many people have acted. And on the one hand, we can say, well, you know, it's kind of expected. People in the world, you know, what do they know? But it's not just people in the world. It's people who are supposedly Christians or people who are Christians who have not upheld the standards that we could hope for. And sometimes we ourselves fall into this. And it goes beyond just this current election. Friday night, at my parents' house, as is typical, I am at my parents' house on a Friday night. Ben had a new game to play. So we sat down and we played it. Now the first time we played, Ben had a fairly good time. Because when he played, not a whole lot of bad things happened to him. He was able to just, you know, go through and do whatever. Thad and I had a miserable time. Every time it was our turn, it felt like we were hardly doing anything. It was a game that had to do with cards. Most of the turns I played, I had to discard two cards before it was my turn. So I was only playing with three cards. Ben got to play with five cards all the time. And I would get damaged. This was a game that had damage in it, and I was constantly getting damaged. That ended up losing the game entirely. He didn't make it to the end. He got clobbered. And we were playing cooperatively, so that was even worse in some ways, maybe. Neither Ben nor I was attacking him. He just lost. And it was really frustrating and disheartening. So Ben and I played again, just the two of us, later on that night. Why didn't Thad play? He really didn't have a good time. That affected his attitude towards that. The second time Ben and I played, it was me against Ben, and I destroyed him. There's really no way of getting around that. It wasn't even a close game. I utterly destroyed Ben. At the end of that game, how did I behave? Now on the inside, I was giddy. Whee! This is actually so much fun! Look at this, all this stuff I can do! It's amazing when I can actually play this game and do things. So during the game and after the game, I hope I wasn't laughing and chortling and ha 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 ha, look at you. Because at the same time, I understood how he felt because I was making him discard cards and he was having a hard time doing anything. So I was smashing into him. And just previous to that, I'd been in that position. So while I was enjoying myself, I knew he was not enjoying himself. And we played the game a third time with Omri, and that third time around, it was back to the style that we had played before. It was all three of us on a team, and that one went fairly well because we had tweaked the game mechanics a little bit, realizing the first time we played, that's not fun. That was not a fun way to play the game. So we tweaked it, and I think for the most part, all three of us had a fairly decent time of it that third time around. It was a much more enjoyable game. But all of that correlates into, I knew how Ben felt. He felt horrible when he was losing. Every time bad things happen, it's depressing. So it was my responsibility not to shove it in his face that I was doing so much better. Consequently, it was Ben's responsibility when he was doing well and we were doing poorly to, on some level, understand or show some level of sympathy towards us. Because it wouldn't do any good. Well, I'm doing great. You guys are doing lousy. Oh, too bad for you. La-ti-da-ti-da. I'm going to be the best. That's not the appropriate attitude. Well, over this last week, I've seen a lot of people la-ti-da-ti-dying on the internet because a particular person won. And I've seen a lot of people behaving very badly because a certain person lost or because a certain person won, behaving very poorly. And it's not just people I know, people I don't know. I've seen discussions going on about why did this happen and the way people talk and the rhetoric they use. So going over the reading this morning, which was in Colossians, Paul brought up this idea that we as Christians need to change our way in the world. There's things you need to get rid of. Malice, anger, spite, slander. And something I've been growing for a long time in my own way. The way that we speak and talk to each other is important. Every time that there's a shooting, you'll see in the news article, whatever, wherever it was, in whatever news source, people will come up with a four-letter word to describe the victim often if they were engaged in possibly nefarious things. Thug. Thug has become a big word. I don't like that word, and I have chosen not to use that word at all because it falls into this extremely negative connotation. You say someone's a thug, and you assume, you automatically, lots of bad things come up about that person and what they were doing at the time. I understand that. But there's other words that come into it. People are communist, libtard, racist. We throw all these words. Everybody throws all these words out there. And that's engaging what Paul said. That's the slander. That's the type of behavior that doesn't add anything. And it degrades the discourse among people. And it doesn't show any kind of love or uplifting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, again, this is Paul. He was one of our prolific writers, so a lot of what we look at in the New Testament comes from him. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 through 24, He's talking to him. He'd previously been talking about idols and what you can and can't do. What's permissible, what's not. And this is close to the section, I believe, but he talks about strong Christians, weak Christians, and whose responsibility it is. He gives us lots of indicators about how we need to behave and how we as an individual need to take responsibility. It's not how other people act that's important, it's how we ourselves act. And in 1 Corinthians 10 and 23, he says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. We live in a country with free speech. That means you can say just about anything. But is everything you say beneficial? Is everything you say constructive? This morning, since Chuck wasn't here, we sang a couple songs. One of them was This Little Light of Mine. And this ties into the point I was making when I was talking a little bit to everybody about This Little Light of Mine. As we shine our light, we need to think, okay, are we shining our light? Are we being beneficial and are we being constructive? Are we gloating or pouting or are we being supportive? You can have a good time on the inside. You can be happy. But you need to shine that out appropriately. That needs to come from you in an appropriate way. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Everything is permissible, not everything's beneficial. Am I benefiting other people? Everything's permissible, not everything is constructive. Am I building other people up? Am I engaging in slander, anger, and malice, or am I engaging in upbuilding and leading people to a better life? Going back then to Colossians chapter 3, where I read from this morning, eight through 11 of Colossians 3, he says, "But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips." Now, filthy language you often think of as profanity. Is that the only kind of filthy language there is out there? No. When we resort to name calling, when we resort to denigrating other people, we're using filthy language. Negative language is filthy language. "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, no circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Or here there is no Republican, Democrat, or independent. Christ is in all and through all." There is no Native American, African American, White American, Latino. Christ is in all and through all. And that needs to be reflected in the way that we interact with people in our speech. We are supposed to be the shining light and the guiding light. We are supposed to be uplifting. The whole point of getting rid of Christians when you come into a circumstance like Nazi Germany, Communist Russia, is not that they are violently outspoken against the government. It's that their lives clash so strongly with the ideals that the government wants to put forward. Because you're out there behaving in a way that makes their behavior look bad. It's not because the Christians protested and had carried signs and picked up guns or knives or threw rocks. It's because the Christian way of life needs to make other ways look like what they are. Bad excuses for appropriate behavior. The idea of rising above. Don't say, "We go high when they go low." Just go high. Don't declare it. Just live that way. Just be that way. Because when you say that, then everybody gets to look and say, actually, what you just did 10 minutes later was low. You went very low. Don't put yourself in that kind of position. Just live that kind of position. Go on to verses 12 through 17. He actually talks about the conduct. "Therefore, as good chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Therefore, as God's chosen people, do we act like we're chosen? Do we behave in a chosen way? If we do, make sure you're the right kind of chosen person. Not, "I'm chosen to win this Oscar." No, God's chosen people, which carries with it a certain connotation of behavior. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have. Somebody disagrees with you. Somebody is angry with you. Somebody is aggressive toward you. Bear with them. Not get in their face and give what you get. Bear with them. Forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. What did God forgive you? What have you done that God's forgiven you? What horrible thing, what unforgivable thing that you just can't forgive somebody that God forgave you? How badly did somebody stab you in the back that you haven't stabbed God in the back? And He forgave you. How much anger and spite has somebody given you that you didn't give God through some of your actions that He forgave you? The idea is brought home about, you know, what have you done against God that He hasn't forgiven you? When He brings up in Matthew 25, which is one of a couple places in the New Testament where we have the idea of the sheep and the goats. I'm not going to read a little bit here. 40, the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. Two opposing ideas. But he says, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And then he tells the people that don't make it in, whatever you didn't do for the least of these, you didn't do for me. So what have you done against God? Whatever you've done to somebody else, whatever atrocity you've done verbally, physically, backstabbing, whatever you've done to somebody else, what is Jesus implying? You've done that to me. It can't be, only if you do good things you do that for me, and if you don't do them then you haven't done it for me. There's the flip side of that. Whatever bad things you've done to these people, you've done that to me. But what did Paul say in Colossians? As the Lord has forgiven you, forgive those that you have something against. What did God forgive of you? How far did you go and God forgave you? Go that far in forgiving other people. To drive that point home, you can go to Genesis 26 and 27, and that's about the creation of man. And how did God create man? And what image is man created? In His image, He created them male and female. This is me. This is what I look like. You see that? How are you going to treat me? That's how you treat that image of me. Everywhere you go, you're surrounded by my image. How do you treat me? How do you behave? What words do you use when you speak to somebody that looks like me? It's really amazing. I'm not surprised that when Mr. Trump and President Obama met, they had good things to say about each other in that time frame. What is the difference about that and when they were on the campaign trail? They weren't talking to each other. They weren't face to face. They weren't working on something important. It's really easy if Chad is back there and I'm up here for Chad to say a whole bunch of horrible things back there about me and me to say a whole bunch of horrible things about Chad up here. But if Chad and I are standing next to each other and we're conversing, odds are we're really not going to say horrible things to each other, and we're going to find things that we can actually talk about in common. I don't know why Chad says horrible things about me back there. But when you are with people together, things work out. You say a lot less nasty things to people when you're with them together, one-on-one, interacting. Because we have this sense of, I'm in God's image, they're in God's image, we're together, we're similar. Even if we can't articulate and know that inherently, we know that underlying truth. This is a representative of someone of God. Yes, they may be doing the wrong thing, but they still represent that, and we need to treat them appropriately. 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And He has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. There's a lot of confused people in the world. There's a lot of confused people across this nation who don't understand why someone holds the views or why someone could support a particular candidate over another one. They don't understand. They don't get it. And you may not understand or get why somebody holds a view. That's okay. But when we interact with each other, when we interact with people, we must love because He first loved us. I love my children. Does that mean I don't discipline my children? I love my children. Does that mean I do not get frustrated with my children? But when I interact with my children, I need to interact with them in a form of love. Because I want my children to follow God. I want my children to come around to a view and perspective that the only hope that they have is to trust in Christ. And if I don't treat them with love, if I treat them with offhandedness, with disrespect, are they likely to care what I want for them? Are they likely to come around to understand through me that they need Christ? When it says we love because He first loved us, we need to keep those kind of interactions in mind. How do I deal with this person? Well, how would you deal with somebody that you care for, with your spouse, with your child, with your grandparent? How many people are going to talk back and disrespectful to their grandparent when they disagree with them? Instead, don't you try some kind of roundabout approach if you think they're really in the wrong? Oh, Grandma, you're so stupid. You just click right here, Grandma, right here. Why can't you see that? Who does that? That's the message of the Bible. And yes, that example applies to almost any situation where somebody doesn't understand where you're coming from. Okay, I've told you before, maybe if I tell you this way, if not, then we can work on it later. It's not a big deal. We can talk about something else. You don't have to know how to do that right now. I can help you do this. Whatever. We can move on to something else that's not so frustrating. He gave us this command, whoever loves God must love his brother. This morning, if you need help with that, then that's one of the reasons we come here every Sunday. That's why we have the Lord's table, to refocus us. We're all here together, and you can reach out. If you're having a problem struggling with something, we have elders that you can come talk to. We have fellow church members here. You can come talk to and say, I am having difficulty with this. This is really pushing me over the edge. Or this is pushing me into places that I know are not good. And you can get help with that. Well, here's some things you can do to deal with that. Or if you need to, just call me as soon as you have this problem. Whatever. That's available. If you have something bigger you need to bring up before the group, you need prayers for as a whole, then you have that opportunity. if you haven't accepted that forgiveness that Christ offers and that ability to deal with things the way that Christ dealt with them, then this morning you're going to have that opportunity. We're going to stand and sing our closing song.